This is the Between the Ropes podcast. I'm Brian Fritz. Appreciate everybody for listening in, for downloading, for subscribing to the podcast. Quick note here, the weekly podcast with myself and Michael Wiseman, we are going to be taping that on Thursday night. And as I'm taping this right now, it's Thursday morning. So Michael and I will be back later on today. We will tape that podcast. It will be out tonight, and you can listen to it either tonight or Friday morning. Friday's probably going to be the time that you actually listen to it, or over the weekend. If you have a question for us that you'd like us to answer on the podcast, you can hit us up on Twitter. Use the hashtag AskBTR, or you can send us an email. It's btrmailbag@gmail.com. So Michael and I will be back later on the day, and we will be taking care of that. In the meantime, this podcast with a couple of interviews. Now, coming up later on, Joel Allen is going to be joining me. Now, a lot of people might not know the name of Joel Allen unless you're over in the UK. And I'm here in the United States, so I'm just a dumb American. But in the UK, a lot of people know Joel because Joel is one of the preeminent referees over there. And plus, Joel is the guy behind Suplex Apparel, which I've talked about plenty of times and will continue to talk about here. And Joel and I have known each other for a long time, and I thought it'd be an interesting story to have Joel on here to talk about the Suplex Apparel brand, but also talk about, you know, his more than a decade of experience of being a referee. So Joel will be coming up later on, but first, a conversation with Matt Riddle. Matt is one of the busiest guys right now in pro wrestling. Seems like everybody wants to book him, and for good reason. Matt is incredible in the ring. He has improved so much over the last year, year and a half, making the transition over from MMA. And he's just become this incredible professional wrestler that everybody wants. And he wants to stay busy, and he's able to do that these days. The thing that you will really notice, if you haven't heard Matt do an interview before, and he's been here on the podcast, but especially in this interview, he is extremely honest and he's extremely blunt about things. He's not afraid to express his opinion. And everything that he says, he really believes. There's no character going on here. There's nothing like that. This is real Matt Riddle. And I think what you get even as a professional wrestler when you see him go out there, that's real Matt Riddle. And this guy brings it every night. He's having a lot of fun. And he's a great guy to talk to. He's a great guy to listen to hear him tell stories or listen to him tell his side of things the way that he believes, especially when it comes to the professional wrestling business. So great conversation. You're going to enjoy this with Matt, I promise you. And by the way, Matt is the latest guy when it comes to being a Suplex Apparel guy. And yeah, I'm pimping the brand again, but Matt is the latest Suplex Apparel guy. And he is very happy to be a part of the Suplex Apparel team. So let me not waste any more time. Let's get to the conversation with Matt Riddle. He is the king of bros, Matt Riddle. He is the guy that is in demand right now and busier than just about anybody else in professional wrestling. How's everything going, Matt?
It's going really good. You know, just got done with the VXW 16 Karat. Also had Ambition, What Culture Pro Wrestling, Progress Wrestling. And, just been super busy, nonstop, and I couldn't be happier about it.
You keep a ridiculous schedule. I know that most recently you wrestled, I think it was 8 matches in 11 days, and you're also doing a lot of seminars in between that. How do you like doing that schedule? Do you like going full tilt like that?
I do. I really do like going full tilt like that. I like to be busy all the time, every day. You know, what do they say? Idle hands are the devil play tools or playthings or whatever.
Sure.
You know, when I have nothing to do, I get in trouble. When I have stuff to do, it keeps me busy, keeps me focused, and it keeps me, honestly, it just makes me a lot more productive just being busy because I'm more out and about interacting with fans, people, and just moving, you know?
And I think, too, when it keeps you moving, it keeps you busy, it probably keeps you thinking a lot about wrestling and, like, what's next, what's next, what's next. And keeping that schedule probably helps you when it comes to not only, you know, earning your living, but as you continue to improve in the ring. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I do. And I think it's something you only get at this level, on the indie level. Not saying you can't get better wrestling in the WWE all the time, but they kind of have a certain formula that they follow. while on indie wrestling, you might wrestle, like last night I wrestled Cody Rhodes. The night before, I wrestled a guy named Walter from Germany. The night before that, I wrestled Speedball Bailey. So on the indies, it seems like every day you get kind of like a different challenge, a different style, a different blend of professional wrestling. Well, I feel like the WWE, even if you get different opponents, it's still the same formula. You know, shine, heat, fire up, come back, pump, pump, bump, body slam, falsy, finish.
Yeah, and I think the cool thing that you can do, especially with so many different great guys that are out there working right now in so many different places to work, is you can try different things. You can go out there and you can test and see what's going to work and what's not, right?
Absolutely. And not only that, certain things work differently in different places. You know, when you wrestle in America, the crowd's like a little more, they need more, you know? Or when you wrestle in Europe, per se, depending on where you work, say Germany or England, they like the chain wrestling. They like a lot of the sport wrestling. So, you know, you can get away with a lot of other stuff, you know? So each crowd is just like in America, you know, you got the Southeast area where, you know, they like certain style of wrestling. Then you got the Northeast, the Midwest, West, and of course, like the Southwest, which is lucha based and has it's more of a hybrid of everything, you know?
So how would you describe your style right now, or what do you like to do the most?
Honestly, I like to hit people really hard. I like to slam people really hard. I like to get hit and slammed really hard back. My thing is, even when I got into professional wrestling, the main thing I wanted to translate over was, you know, like when I grew up watching wrestling, the guys that stuck out to me were guys like Bret Hart, Shawn Michaels, Chris Benoit, Kurt Angle, you know, Jerry Lynn, Rob Van Dam. Guys that even though they worked professional wrestling styles and they had shoot backgrounds, some of them, they wrestled hard. It was competitive. It was, are they okay, questionable spots. You know what I'm saying? Like, and that's what I like. I like to have people be like, oh my God, are you okay? Or wow, that was, dude, he killed him with that. You know, that's my cup of tea. That's what I go for wrestling. I like to hit hard. I like to be hit hard. And I like really good competitive matches. So that's kind of my take on pro wrestling. I can do all the flips and spins and rolls and moves, but I think there's a lot more to wrestling than just doing the moves and movements, and you probably know that. And I think it's a lot in between. Every strike has to mean something. Every hold needs to mean something. And I think a lot of people just go through the motions while I don't.
Well, you talk about how much you're like, oh my God, did he really get hurt? Or what the hell is this guy doing? I was at the show that was in San Antonio for Evolve. And I can't remember off the top of my head who your face is, but I remember you guys just fought everywhere and went, I think you did like this hellacious dive like into him, into the crowd, into all the chairs and everything. And everybody's just like, oh my God, what the hell, man?
Oh yeah. And that's the thing. I think that was more of a hardcore match, you know?
Right.
So it was a little different, more spotty. But still, like, I'm going to push my body. I'm going to push my opponent's body. But even the night before when I wrestled ACH, that match was completely in the ring the entire time. But when we went at it, we hit each other as hard as we could, and we went full tilt. And, you know, and that's more of the style of wrestling I'm after. You know, like when somebody asks me, it's like, oh, what do? I go, I do pro wrestling. They go, oh, is that fake? And when I kick him in the chest, and they're like, what the hell? I'm like, how fake was that? You know?
Right.
Because when I kick people, I kick them for real. When I slap people, I slap them for real. When I slam people, I slam them for real. You know, to me, this is real. I win my belt. I win these trophies. I win all this stuff. This is real to me. There might be a predetermined outcome, but when you're in there in that ring with me, don't be surprised if you start bleeding or if you bruise up or something because I hit people really hard.
How much has the scene in Europe, because I mean, it has blown up so much, and you were just talking about, you were in Germany, you've been wrestling over the UK, you did What Culture, you do Rev Pro and Progress and OTT and all these places. How beneficial has this explosion in Europe been to you and your career and to a lot of other people as well?
Yeah, I mean, it's good, you know. Busy is the busier an independent wrestler can be, the better, you know. And for me, Lucky for me, I don't know why, the English love me, the Irish love me, the Germans love me, you know. I'm doing very well in Europe right now, hence I can't even get out of Europe. But I think it helps us all. And it's not just that it helps us all. I think independent wrestling is growing in a whole, you know. I think, and it's nothing against Ring of Honor or WWE, I think both those products are kind of getting watered down and they're oversaturating themselves. Well, the indies are always fresh, new. There's a different story, a different match, a different thing, a different that every weekend, and sometimes three or four times a weekend in different places. You know, like this upcoming weekend, I'm wrestling in Texas Friday against Brian Cage. I'm wrestling Saturday for PWG with Jeff Cobb as my tag partner as the Chosen Bros. And then Sunday, I'm wrestling Matt Tremont in a death match. And then I believe Monday, I'm in back in England against Marty Scurll and Will Ospreay in a triple threat match. And then, you know what I'm saying? It just keeps going and going on. And I think it's not necessarily just the European scene or the U.S. scene. I just think it's the scene, the period. There's so many places to work. Wrestling is so popular. And not just wrestling, but independent wrestling is at an all-time high. It's amazing. It's an amazing thing to be part of. Like, I can't, I work more than most WWE guys now.
So what's it like now? Like you said, there's so many different people that like you, whether in the United States or over in Europe or whatever. So what's it like being one of the in-demand guys right now?
It's one of the greatest things ever, at least for me, you know. All my dates are booked, everything's full, but, you know, money's coming in. I get to see – the biggest thing for me, especially getting into pro wrestling, the thing that stuck out to me the most is I always wanted to do it. But when I started doing it, the one thing that I really fell in love with is I can do this every day. I can do it every week. I can entertain a crowd in a different city, different town, different country every single day of the week, or at least four times a week. And that's something I could never do while fighting. And the fact that I can do it now is just amazing. To be in demand like I am, not only am I in demand where I'm working all the time, but I'm in demand to the point where I can pick where I work and choose where I work and work at the best independent promotions in the entire world. Not just country, but the entire world. And you know, it's awesome.
It's incredible to be able to have that choices. And I think the thing that really comes off in your work is not only how hard you work, but you're having fun out there. And that's something that, you know, there's other people that are having fun, but I mean, you can really see that you have that emotion. You can tell that you're having fun. I mean, you wear it on your sleeve.
Yeah. You know, I think that's the one thing. Not only do I have fun in the ring, wrestling, doing that, I have fun walking out of the ring. I have fun walking away from the ring. I have fun taking pictures with fans. I have fun selling t-shirts. I have fun drinking with the fans after the matches. It's like I said, when I fought, I could only fight about three times, four times a year maximum. And it was fun, but, you know, there's a lot of highs. You know, there's very few highs and a lot of lows, you know, in fighting.
Right.
While pro wrestling, it's a lot of highs stacked on top of more highs with wrestling, because that's a high, then hanging out, that's a high, you know. And you just get to hang out with everybody and really get to enjoy your business, you know, that industry. I felt like in MMA, you'd have like 3 weeks out of the entire year where you would enjoy it. And those were fight weeks. You'd get interviewed, you'd sign posters, you know, take pictures, do the fight, and then it's over. Well, I'm pro wrestling every weekend. I'm signing pictures, I'm fighting, you know, so I'm interacting with the fans, I'm interacting with the companies, and like I said, you know, the busier I am, the happier I am, and everything's just been stupendous.
You've been wanting to do this for a long time, and obviously you're being very successful at doing it now. Is there any part of you that wish that you had said, you know what, I'm going to scrap the fighting earlier, and you had gotten into pro wrestling earlier than you did?
No, I mean, I'll be honest, sometimes I'm like, oh man, I wish I wouldn't even got into fighting. But at the same time, that's not who I am. I really wanted to fight, you know, like especially at that age. When you're 18, 19 years old and you're a Division I college wrestler, and, you know, sometimes it doesn't matter what your parents say, you just want to, like, you think it's a good idea to fight in cage, you know? And there was no way that was going to tell me different. I always wanted to get into pro wrestling, but I always also wanted to fight in the UFC and fight professionally, like in Pride or something. So both were on the list, and I have zero regrets. You know, I have zero regrets even getting fired. You know, I think, you know, things happen for a reason. I'm fortunate how it did go down and for the circumstances it did go down for. But at the same time, you know, it's a lesson I learned from, and I've moved forward. And now, you know, if anything, everything is 10 times better than it ever could have been.
If you hadn't gotten fired when you did, do you think that you'd still be fighting right now?
Yeah, I mean, actually, yeah, I'd probably be fighting for at least a couple more years. I think I look at the landscape of the welterweight division and even the middleweight division in the UFC, and yeah, I'm pretty sure I could beat Tyrone Woodley, and it's nothing against him. I know I'd beat the shit out of Stephen Thompson. Like, he's just, that's a bad matchup for him. And, you know, like, when it comes to UFC fighting, like, yes, if I was still in the UFC and I didn't get released, I would probably be top five, top three welterweights in the world right now, if not the champion. But at the same time, you know, I loved fighting. I loved getting in there. I loved competing. I loved all that. I did not like the politics in fighting. I know there's a lot of politics in wrestling, but at least wrestling, it's a show. I know it's a show. I go into it knowing it's a show. Fighting's real, 100% real. And when you get screwed or dicked or told or treated differently than other people, it's different. You know, it's a professional sport. It's a professional setting. You're supposed to be treated a certain way. And when you're not treated appropriately, you know, that's unacceptable.
But you can also control your schedule and your livelihood a little bit differently when you're doing pro wrestling, because there are so many different opportunities that are out there. Once you're under contract with a company like a Bellator or a UFC, you're beholden to them. But right now, because you're an independent wrestler, you control everything.
Yes. You know, that's another thing I would like to say. Like, a lot of people, a lot of wrestlers, fighters, they think, oh, I need that contract, end all, be all. And one thing I'll say to anybody that's like trying to get a contract, I'm like, what does a contract do for you? It locks you into one spot at a company. That's what a contract does. Unless they offer you a bonus or a crazy amount of money every time you show up or something like that, all contract really does is like limit your ability to work other places.
Right.
So like my advice to other guys is like, do not sign contracts unless like the money's super right and you know you're going to be used properly. Like, I haven't signed a contract in a long time. The only contract I've signed recently was with WWN, and we had some terms and agreements and discussions before we even went forward with that, because I'm very hesitant on signing contracts, especially with my experience with Bellator, Legacy FC, Titan FC, and of course the UFC.
What's that experience like now when dealing with promoters? Because we all know there's good ones and there's bad ones that are out there, you know, in any kind of walk of life, but especially in wrestling.
Yeah, you know, promoters, yeah, there's good ones, bad ones. Most of them are all right. You know, most of them just want to get the most bang for their buck. And everybody wants to be the next big show in town. So I completely understand where they're coming from. But there are promoters, you know, I'm not going to mention names, of course, but you know, you work for, you agree on a certain amount of money, you get your money, and then you realize, oh, wait, they didn't pay me this, or, oh, they're paying me this, but now they're not going to pay my transportation, or this, that, and the other thing, you know? And you do run into characters and shitty promoters like that. But for me, it's as simple as I'm not going to work for you again. You know, you do be wrong once. And usually I talk to the promoter as well. So say I have an incident where I get a flight that's booked that I don't like, or this or that, and they don't pass it by me. And I'm like, why would I fly 10 hours when I should only fly 5 hours? And if they're like, you know, they give me a hard time, I'll be like, okay, that's perfectly fine. I completely understand. But just so you know, I'm not going to say anything mean or nasty, but I'm never going to work for you again. I'm not going to say anything on social media, but if you invite me, I'm just going to say no thank you, and I'm going to work other places. That's it. And usually when you come at a promoter and you're very calm and collective like that, and you tell them exactly what you want, how you want it, and what's acceptable and unacceptable, they completely understand. Most of the time, you just got to talk to people face to face, and they get it. Right. Know? I think a lot of times in professional wrestling, because every guy that gets in the business is told to pay your dues, that you, a lot of people, the promoters, walk all over them. And I'll say this to any wrestler or anybody. The last thing you want to do is let any promoter walk all over you. You're your own brand. You're your own person. And that's what's going to sell in the long run. So if you start bowing down to some indie promoter now, what makes you think Vince McMahon is just going to listen to you?
Right. So I know you were getting a lot of attention, and rightfully so, in 2015, but especially last year, 2016. That's when a lot of people really took notice going, God damn, is Matt real good? I mean, you've just taken to this so quickly. So what was 2016 like for you, and how much different of a performer did you feel between the beginning of the year and the end of the year?
It's, dude, it's night and day. I watched my first couple matches at Evolve, and I'm like, who the fuck? I'm like, who is that guy? You know, like, because there's no facial expressions. He's athletic. He's me. But, like, he doesn't have it yet. He has it, but he's not using it, you know? And I'd watch it, and it would just, I couldn't. I hated watching my earlier matches. And now I love watching my matches. But when I watched my earlier matches, I was like, why aren't you making a face? Like, why aren't you connecting with the crowd? Why aren't you doing this? Like, oh, damn it, you know? And then by midway through the year, like, when I started having those matches with Cedric and even, like, Tracy Williams and stuff, and they started letting me open up, I was like, all right, this is what I like. This is what I like. And then the more comfortable and confident I got in the professional wrestling ring, the more I saw the character come in, the more I saw me come out in the ring. And, you know, it's a process. It always is. And everybody has their story of when it clicks. I can't tell you when it clicked, but I would say, like, you could probably see it about halfway through 2016 where it just, boom, Riddle's got it. Like, he's getting it. He knows right. what to do. He knows how to move. And it's like, and not only that, you got to realize the reactions I'm getting from the fans and people without diving over top of us, without breaking my neck, without killing myself. I do a simple, strong style, mixed martial arts style, professional wrestling, which is hard hitting, hard slamming, but comparatively to diving over ropes, going through tables, getting hit in the head with chairs, bleeding, all this stuff that I don't do, that other people do, and I can get the same reaction that they do, you know?
Yeah. Well,
that's,
I think some,
I'm a firm believer in less is more.
Oh, absolutely. And I think some of it is, too, that you have to not do it right to finally get it right, because you have to see, like, okay, that's what's not working. And now I know exactly what I'm doing wrong, so I can turn around and get it right.
Definitely. And that's one of those things. And fortunately for me, you know, I've watched a lot of people, not necessarily like matches, wrestling wise, but when I'm at shows live, I watch and I see what the people react to. And trust me, I see great wrestlers that can do great moves, exciting moves, nonstop actually for 20 minutes, right? But the one thing I notice with them when they're not getting any reactions, they're not like taking time to connect with the crowd. They're just thinking about the next move. They might clap their hands a couple times to get the crowd to clap, but to me, that's bullshit. If you have to clap to make the crowd clap, you're not a wrestler. It's just like if you have to yell shut up at a fan to get heat, you're not a good heel. You're working the ring to translate, and people should hate you because of the way you wrestle, not because of the way you talk to them.
Do you get upset about the way the wrestling is these days, especially when it comes to baby faces and heels? Because it's a different time, it's a different reaction, I guess, from fans, but it's also a different way that some of the guys, some of the wrestlers will embrace whatever role.
Yeah, honestly, I don't mind the babyface heel role. There's nothing wrong with that. Some people are shitty in life and some people are good, right?
Yeah.
So I get the heel babyface role. I think when it's a necessity to you in wrestling, you're holding yourself back. It shouldn't be a necessity. It should just be like, well, I'm kind of a dick. I'm going to do this. And you're like, oh, well, I'm kind of a nice guy, so I wouldn't do that to you, but I would do this, you know? And I think that's it. And, of course, when I fight, even though I'm mostly babyface most of the time, but even when I'm heel, it's hard for me because I don't like to back down from people. I don't like to like run away from people. And if you listen to any old school guy, they'd be, oh, you're a heel? You know, you got to kind of cower away from your opponent, kind of be afraid, look for cheap ways out. And I agree to that to a certain extent. But for a UFC fighter to be a heel, that's not how you get heat. For me to get heat is I have to beat my opponent, like beat his head in and give him no options and just make the crowd hate me because they feel so bad for my opponent. That's how I'm going to get heat, you know, instead of the other ways.
So where do you want to be at come the end of the year? I mean, what do you want? Is there anything in particular that you have as a goal or accomplishment when it comes to 2017?
Well, 2017 is a big year. It's already been a big year. I won the Atlas title already. I won the Ambition title for WXW, you know. I was in the semifinals of the Carrot tournament. I won the tournament of Tomorrow for Beyond. You know, but my big goal for 2017 is I want to try to collect as many awards and accomplishments as I can, you know. And by I think by doing that, I will become one of the most well-known best wrestlers in the world just in that pursuit, you know.
Right.
So 2017, of course, there's certain matches I would like Kenny Omega or Suzuki or Okada. You know, there's huge matches I would love. Even like if I could get in the ring with Adam Cole at PWG or, whoever. I mean, I already wrestled the Young Bucks with Jeff Cobb. You know, I get treated really well and I get great matchups. But, you know, I think this year I want to try to collect as many accomplishments as I can. I want to try to be the best of the year. My goal is to replace Chris here on the Indies, but have a way better body.
Have you ever been approached or have you ever thought about going to New Japan?
Yes, I definitely thought about New Japan. I would love to work with New Japan. Right now they do something with Ring of Honor. You know, I told my buddies from Ring of Honor and they go over to New Japan.
Right.
But it's not like really a regular thing. And, you know, like, I saw Cody over at New Japan, but he kind of does work with Ring of Honor as well.
Yeah.
And right now I work with WWN and Evolve, and I feel like there's no connection with New Japan there. I might be wrong.
No, you're right. Yeah, there is no connection with New Japan there.
You know, there's no connection there. There's connection, like, with Dragon Gate and stuff, so there's a possibility with that. Because honestly, another big goal for 2017 is to get to Japan and wrestle at least once.
Right.
You know, and of course, to me, Dragon Gate's good, nothing against Dragon Gate, but I would really like to, you know, mix it up with New Japan. Like, I wrestled Shibata earlier this year, had a barn burner with him, and I think I would like to have a couple more matches like that in New Japan.
Oh, I think you'd be a huge hit over there.
I think I would be, too. And you know what? I'll be honest, WWN and Evolve, they're Sal and Gabe are very flexible with my schedule, and they kind of let me, they know the talent that I am, and they know what I bring to the table, and what certain matches will bring to the table, not just for myself as a person, but for the company in a whole. You know, when your top guys wrestling, you know, in England against Shibata, and traveling the world in Germany, and doing all these huge tournaments, and then all this comes back, you know, it really adds eyes to your product. All those guys from Germany that like me are now going to watch Evolve and so on and so forth, same thing from England. And I think it all plays a part. And like I said, my relationship is so good with, you know, Evolve and WWN. I think if there was any connection with New Japan, they would, of course, allow me to have a couple matches over there, win, lose, or draw.
Sure. Because I know this always comes up, and you did a camp with them one time, but how often do you know how often WWE keeps tabs on you, or have they reached out to you just to touch base anytime recently?
Oh, I know they're watching.
Right. We all know that. Yeah.
Yeah, they're definitely watching. They like what they see. I think what they're kind of doing, you know, I think even when I had the tryout and they said yes, then they kind of strung me around and then said maybe, then strung me around longer, then said no. I think that was a big test. Like, well, what's he going to do? Quit, run, you know, try to go back to MMA. What's he going to do? And I think what I did, I stuck to my guns. And I was basically like, to be honest, I was like, okay, you're not going to sign me? Awesome. I'm going to make you guys regret that decision. And I think I'm already on my way of doing that, you know? Because if they tried to sign me now, because I talked to William Regal not too long ago and other WWE people, and I basically told them my schedule, how much I make right now, and how I have the freedom to see my family every single week. I go, could you match that? Match that money, match my schedule, match the time I have with my family? And they can't. They couldn't. They can't even come close, you know? So right now, I'm the happiest guy I could be. I'm doing something I love to do. I have the greatest schedule in the world. Of course, I'm busy and I'm traveling all the time, but it's on my terms. And the best part about it, and I try to explain this to everybody about creativity and wrestling, and I always explain it like there's like a movie. If I was a director of a movie or I was a writer of a movie and I finally got, you know, a big Paramount to invest in my movie, and then I brought my movie to them and their producer wanted to change this, this, and this, add this sponsorship there, change that spot to this spot. Before I know it, my movie is no longer my movie, but I'm still getting paid a lot of money.
Right.
To me, I'd rather get paid. I'd rather get paid less money and have my original movie. I'd rather be at an independent film festival making scraps, struggling, than to have someone take my masterpiece and alter it for commercial money. You know?
Right, and I think that's why, you know, you're going to have that decision to make whenever you want to make it, because I'm sure they're going to be interested for a long time to come. But I think from my standpoint, I think that could be a very difficult situation for you, because the freedom that you have, the ability to work with so many different people and the way that you want and different styles, not something like you said before, you're just not going to be able to do in WWE. Nothing against them. They have their own little formula, but, you know, it's just different when you're working independents and you're working around the world.
I agree, and I think the biggest problem we would have is not necessarily, I don't think I'd have a problem working there. I think you would be, like you said, like the style, the creativity, they want to control certain aspects. And I don't mind storylines. You can control storylines. We can deal with that all day. You can wage a pro wrestling magic wand. I get it.
Right.
But, you know, when it comes to my matches, that bothers me, you know, because I have a set mindset. Not saying it can't change or twist or this or that, and we can't do, like the other day, like I'm big into hard-hitting, realistic wrestling matches, but the other day, somebody did a dive on me, threw me in the ring, I threw a head kick shot, he hit me with a Canadian Destroyer, I no-sold the Destroyer, hit him with a Canadian Destroyer, into a double down, into a fire up on each other, where we're both yelling, bro, and mate at each other, and the crowd was on fire.
Right.
Now, that's not a realistic scenario, but I knew it was entertaining. I knew the crowd we were working with would love that, and the guy I was working with was big as hell. He was like 260. So I knew if the crowd saw him do a Canadian Destroyer and me do a Canadian Destroyer to him, they would go absolutely ballistic, just like him diving over the top rope on me and my little body catching him. People go crazy for that.
That's,
know,
a WrestleMania moment right there, man.
Exactly. And the thing is, that's what I love about the indies. Not every time, but I would say 50% of the time, I get to have that big moment, that WrestleMania moment, that holy shit, oh my God, this is awesome moment. Well, you know, when you work for a company like the WWE, you play your part. You play that five-minute part. And not saying I don't play a five-minute part on some cards, but like I said, I get to keep the creativity. So if it's 5 minutes, that's 5 minutes of me. If it's 10, it's 10 of me.
Right.
It's 15 of me all day.
I know it's hard to predict the future, but could you see a scenario where you never go to WWE?
Yeah, never go to WWE and go to New Japan. That's the only scenario I see where I don't go to WWE. And the scenario I see of me going to the WWE is by the time I get there, I'm big enough where they can use me a certain way. And you know, like, not saying I can't do any match. I can do any match. But I think if I keep the legitimacy up and I keep doing what I'm doing and I build my game and my stock like I am on the indies, especially like I was saying with winning as many things and accomplishing as many things as I can this year and the following year, and basically replacing Chris Hero and every other great indie talent, I really think at a certain level with my UFC background, then with my pro wrestling background, they're not going to have a choice but to kind of work with me and work with my style.
Yeah. I see your career kind of unfolding very similar to the way AJ Styles did, and the way that he's able to take what he can do in the ring and present it, you know, in WWE, in mostly the way that he wants to do it too.
And AJ Styles is a perfect example. Kevin Owens is a perfect example. Guys like that that paid their dues. Like, it's fantastic. So we posted a picture today of Kevin Owens and AJ Styles. They wrestled 3 years ago at some bingo hall in Binghamton, England.
Yeah.
And they're like, this is Kevin Owens and AJ Styles 3 years ago.
It's crazy.
You know?
It's crazy to think it's only 3 years ago.
Yeah, or maybe it was four. Maybe it was four. That doesn't matter, though. You know what I'm saying? It's like it goes from there to there. And at that point, nobody probably saw either one of those guys making it to the main stage of WWE and wrestling Goldberg and Lesnar and all sorts of people like that on the biggest stage in the world of professional wrestling, you know?
Yeah.
And not only do they do that, but Kevin Owens works his stuff. AJ Styles works his style of matches, you know? So, not saying there isn't some cartoony stuff in there, but at the same time, like, he's true to his character. He didn't have to change much, and neither did Kevin Owens.
So, let me ask you this about WWE. What's your thing with Bill Goldberg right now?
Bill Goldberg can't wrestle. That's it.
Yeah.
And I think he knows it. And then the fact that the guy is very bold and claims he does MMA training. And I know that's bullshit because I saw him throw a knee on Rusev his first night back on Raw, and he almost broke his hip, and he fell on his back. And then they had to edit the footage, but just showed him spear him and, you know, jackhammer him quick.
Yeah.
You know? And then his work in the ring, like, people are like, oh, it's Goldberg. You know, it's another one-minute match or whatever. And it's like, well, yeah, it's 1 minute because he can't work more than 1 minute. If he works more than 1 minute, it's going to be botchamania, you know? And even with 1 minute, it's botchamania almost, you know?
So you think we're going to get a one-minute match between Bill and Brock at Mania?
I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah.
Well, and let's be honest. If we get more than a one-minute match from Bill Goldberg, it's going to suck.
Right.
So he might as well. I hope he wrestles only for 1 minute, either wins or loses, whatever. But you know, he's never been my cup of tea. I don't like how he acts like he's a shoot-style guy. I hated when he did commentary for Straight Force and MMA because he's not a legit, credible character. He's an old man that hits a jackhammer and a spear. He can't even work. He can't even do a world sport wrist lock. He can't even do a real kimura. And that's what I said. Like, even on my podcast, I was like, anytime, if Bill wants to go in the gym, there doesn't have to be cameras. Like, if he wants to roll and train and see what it's like to be in the ring with a real stallion, he can. Any day, any time. Because the thing is, he's fake. When I say, like, he does pro wrestling. Bill Goldberg's a pro wrestler. I do sport wrestling. I'm a real fighter. I'm a real athlete. I'm a sport athlete. He did football, then parlayed that into doing a spear and jackhammer, and then, you know, WCW let him go 250-0, and he got over.
How much?
And I say this to people, like, oh, but he's so, you know, people love him. I'm like, bro, let me go 250-0. Let me beat Kevin Nash, Scott Hall, Bill Goldberg. You know, let me beat everybody in 1 minute. Let me beat Hulk Hogan in 1 minute, clean, for the title, and see how my stock rises.
I think you'll be over at that point.
Yeah, of course. Anybody would be. James Ellsworth would be super over at that point. You know, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter who you put in that situation. It just so happened they picked a guy that couldn't wrestle for over a minute or two. And he's responsible for ruining Bret Hart's career and others. And I could go on. There's multiple reasons why I don't like Bill Goldberg. And most and foremost is because he doesn't deserve it.
How much fun do you think you'd have being in the ring with Brock?
I would have so much fun. You know, I've actually dreamt about being in the ring with Brock, and I don't do that often because I get in the ring with most people. And I just dream about him, like, stiffing me really hard and me just coming back and fucking him up even harder, you know? I, like, That's the thing about a guy like Brock, and I know Brock's good buddies with Bill Goldberg, has he just lets him squash him. But it's like, you know, like a guy like, like Brock, I do respect to an extent, but at the same time, I feel like, you know, I respect what he can do in the ring. I respect the work he's put in. I respect the credentials he has. But at the same time, I wish he was a little more proud of what he has accomplished in sports entertainment, because I feel like he likes the fighting stuff. He likes the amateur stuff, but he doesn't hold the pro wrestling stuff on the same pedestal that he should. You know, like me, I walk around with my belt. I walk around with my belt from airports everywhere else. I'm proud of everything I do in sports entertainment. And I feel like a lot of guys are like, I wouldn't say embarrassed, but like, they're not like eager to tell people, oh, I'm a pro wrestler.
Right.
You know, while me, first thing I tell somebody, like, what do you do for a living? I'm a pro wrestler. I'm a sports entertainer. I go, I'm a sport wrestler. So you should see my shit looking up on YouTube. You know, I don't hide it. I go, yeah, I fought in the UFC, and I was badass back then, too. I'm still badass. Right now, I'd be the champ in the UFC, but instead, I'm the champ in pro wrestling.
So do you know your schedule for Mania Week? I think I've got it here in front of me, but I believe 5 matches in 3 days?
It should be 7.
Okay, 7 matches. I thought I might have missed a couple, so that's why I wanted to ask.
Yeah, I got all the Evolve shows.
Right.
The WWN Super Show.
Yep.
Progress has shows.
Yep. You got the midnight match against Dan Severn?
Yep. Joey Janela's Spring Break. Dan Severn.
Dude.
And that's going to be a shoot. That's a shoot.
I know, right?
Shoot, it is. Like he's coming down. He's bringing training, sparring equipment. It's a shoot. It's going to be a shoot. It's going to be awesome.
Damn.
And, yeah, so I'm going to have like 7 matches that weekend. You know, I'm actually trying to get like 8.
Really?
You know, because honestly, just like this past weekend, I had like 8 matches. To me, the more the merrier. The more times I can get in that ring and get in front of a crowd and wrestle, the better. Especially for me, because I'm trying to catch up to everybody else that has 10 years in the game.
Right.
So if I can get more matches, more time, more money, more everything, I'm all about it. You know?
And you're hosting the WWN WrestleMania After Party at Back Booth, right?
Yes, I sure am. And we're doing the After Party at Back Booth. And then during, also before Back Booth, during WrestleMania, I will be at a mansion party where we'll do a live stream. And it'll probably be like me, Jeff Cobb, Tracy Rose, a bunch of the Evolve guys that aren't going to WrestleMania. We're going to go party at this mansion. And then we're going to go party at Back Booth, and then probably go back to the mansion party.
Of course, you got to go back to the mansion.
Of course, you know, no holds barred.
So before
I was going to say holes, but yeah.
So before we get out of here, you are now sponsored by Suplex Apparel. Tell me about your relationship with Suplex and all the things you're doing with them.
Yeah, you know, Suplex is amazing. The thing about Suplex, and I said to Suplex, and I said to everybody, and like, Jeff Cobb's serious, because Jeff Cobb wants to get on Team Suplex so bad, and he's like, I do more suplexes than anybody. I can deadlift suplex than anybody. I can pop up suplex than anybody. I am Team Suplex. And I'm like, Jeff, I know. I'm trying. But Team Suplex is amazing. It's a special group of guys. You know, every guy on the team is a stallion, from Adam Cole, Matt Riddle, Zack Sabre, fucking Dave Mastiff. Like, the list goes on. Everybody, Angelico, you know, everybody on the team is top-tier talent. And I think that's the thing with Suplex, you know. You can't just have anybody representing Suplex. And it's actually funny. I was told the process of getting on. And I didn't know this, but I actually got voted on by every single member that's already on Team Suplex. They all said, Matt Riddle's a super nice guy. He's awesome. He's a great wrestler. And we want him on Team Suplex.
Right.
So, it honestly, to me, it's awesome. It's an honor. They don't even, like, they do pay me, but they don't even have to pay me. Because, it's like, just to be part of Team Suplex puts you in a league of your own. You know, I'm in a league with Zack Sabre and, like I said, Adam Cole and the rest of the gang, where we are you know, the premier brand. We are the premier athletes, not Tony Nese.
Right.
I'm talking for real. You know, it's not a gimmick. We are the athletes. We are the wrestlers everybody else strives to be. When somebody sees me or Zach wrestle, they come up to us and they're like, I want to do what you do like you do it, you know? And not too many people can say that.
And they make great gear, too.
They make great gear. It's simple, it's effective, and it looks good. It just looks great.
I've got one of their track jackets. It's awesome.
Yeah, I'm wearing the track jacket right now, bro.
Yeah, you got a personalized one, though. I don't have that.
Oh, yeah, I definitely got the personalized one. I'll be honest, man. Things are good. Life is good right now. Really, as long as none of my planes crash and I travel a lot, life is good. You know, the kids are good. The life is good. The rest is good. The money is good. I'm happy. I'm on Team Suplex. You know, like, things are just awesome.
That's fantastic. Everybody can follow Matt on Twitter. You can follow him at RiddleTUF7. You're on Instagram at RiddleBro. And everything is great right now. So thanks for the time. Appreciate it. And look forward to seeing you down here in Orlando coming up here in a few weeks for WrestleMania week.
You know it, bro. Can't wait.
A quick minute to remind everybody, please support Between the Ropes on Patreon. You can go to patreon.com/betweentheropes, and you can support us there. It helps us keep going and doing the things that we're doing. And we're going to be doing some more stuff coming up here. In fact, the podcast with Michael and I that we're going to be taping on Thursday night, that is going to be up on video. So we're going to bring back the videos. We've been talking about doing that, but we could really use your support. It really helps us out a lot. And you can do that by going to Patreon. It's patreon.com/betweentheropes. Whatever you feel comfortable with giving us, even $1 a month, that helps us out tremendously. So please go to patreon.com/betweentheropes. Support us there, and that will really help us out. We'll pat you on the back, we'll shake your hand, and we'll give you all the respect in the world. And by the way, if you really, really like us and are comfortable with it, you can give us more than $1 a month. That's totally up to you. No pressure. It's totally up to you, though. So let's get back to the interviews. Here is my conversation with Joel Allen. For the longest time, anybody that's listened to the Between the Ropes podcast, you've heard me talk a lot about Suplex apparel, and there's a really good reason for it. Two reasons. Number one, it's awesome gear, and second of all, the guy behind it is awesome as well, and that's Joel Allen. And we've been meaning to have Joel on here for a while. I've known Joel for over a decade. He's helped Between the Ropes behind the scenes as well over the years, and now he's doing Suplex apparel and doing very well with it, so it's great to finally get you on here, Joel.
Hey, I'm happy to be on here, Brian. I was a long-time listener, first-time caller.
There we go. So how long have we known each other? Because you used to help out with the website back in the day.
Yeah, I want to say it probably is like 2007, 2008. You're probably right. And then we found out we had a mutual friend in the great Jerry Lynn.
Yes.
Remember that? I remember speaking to him on his phone, actually, that one time when I was in Louisville with him for Ring of Honor TV. But yeah, we've known each other a long time, and never been a dull moment.
Yeah, and it's funny because we always seem to like run into each other at different times. I'll be like hanging around at a show, whether it's like at a WrestleMania week or a SummerSlam week, and I'll turn around and I'm like, "Hey, there's Joel! Look at that!"
Yeah, didn't we bump into each other at the same hotel like that we were staying in?
We did
Dallas last year.
We stayed. Yeah, so we were by the hotel, and then I think we were at the Ring of Honor show. I think we bumped into each other as well.
Yeah, I think Spud was there spouting some rubbish out, I think.
Oh, absolutely.
Sure.
It was right after I had talked to Spud, like a few weeks before that. So, yeah, and Spud's always a great character as well. So we always seem to like bump into each other. Let's start there. Let's talk a little about wrestling from the standpoint that you've been involved in the business for a long time now. Where exactly, what's your experience working in the business?
I've been a referee now for nearly 14 years. I think it's 14 years at the end of the June coming. I've refereed literally pretty much nonstop since I got going, and I broke in with people like Rockstar Spud and Dave Mastiff back in 2003. And I've pretty much worked for any promotion that's, you know, worth anything in the UK, with the exception of maybe one or two in the last 14 years. So I'm really privileged to do that, you know.
And so what was the last time you took a bump?
Last time I took a bump, on It was on Sunday. Southside Wrestling in Stevenage. We did end up doing a bit of a gaga, a bit of comedy with El Ligero and Jeff Cobb, and the crowd egged me on to try and shoulder tackle him down. I took a bump because I didn't take a bump. He knocked me down, I should say, because he's a big dude. So there, a couple of days ago.
So because you've been doing this for a while, and because for anybody that does not know you, you have a very you have a hairstyle that kind of stands out a little bit. So how well known are you when it comes to being a referee, especially in the UK?
I don't sound too arrogant, but I'd say like most people, recognize who I am. It's funny that you say that because I just started working for a company called What Culture Pro Wrestling, and one thing I've noticed is I work for Progress and some other, and Southside Wrestling and Fight Club Pro, which are quite well-known their fan bases are quite similar, I should say. Although people know of each promotion, if that makes sense. So, but this What Culture group, like, they've got like a whole brand new breed of fans. And I don't think like many of them knew who I was, which is quite interesting, really, for how long I've been around and for, I work all over the country still. I was up and down the country this past weekend doing like 5 shows in 4 days. But I don't know. I thought everyone knew me, but working for What Culture is kind of it's definitely humbled me for sure.
Sure. Now, was the plan always to be a referee, or was it to be a wrestler, or what happened?
It was to be a wrestler, but when I first got in, I was only 14 years old, and I was kind of small, and I wasn't quite tough enough yet. And they threw me in as a referee back in the day, and then I've had a few matches and whatnot, but I'm glad the referee thing took off, because I don't think I would have got as far as I have been a wrestler than I have been a referee, for sure.
And the cool thing is that, you don't get to wrestle, but at the same time, you get to be a part of the show, and that's got to be fun.
Oh, absolutely. And, a lot of the shows here, I referee all the matches, and if I don't, that's cool. I get to hang out in the back for a little bit, but there's not really much to do, so I kind of like doing the whole show, because everybody else is, in the matches, they've got their own thing going on. I'm just sat there on my phone or just eating or drinking or something. Like, what do I do now, So I kind of like to be the Iron Man referee, so.
Yeah, and it's funny because that's kind of, I wouldn't say it's weird necessarily, but it's unique that we're so used to seeing like 2 or 3 or maybe even 4 refs on a show sometimes. But then you go to some events and there's only one referee.
Yeah, I mean, this weekend I refereed like 36 matches, I think, in 4 days. But that's not the most I've refereed was like, I think it's either 54 or 56 in like 6 days or 5 days once.
That's crazy.
That's my record. But yeah, it doesn't, I'm used to it. I go to the gym like 4 or 5 times a week to stay in shape for it. So it's all good.
I was going to say, do you have to do a workout program to be a referee?
Not really, but especially when I do like these mammoth shows, there's some shows I do with like 9 matches on, and these wrestlers are the tough ones. I mean, they're the ones that go to do the condition. I'm not, they've got all the respect. I have all the respect in the world for them. But jumping down to the mat and pressing yourself back up, 20 times in a match, does kind of tire you out. So I definitely add burpees into my cardio routine just for that.
Yeah. So you've been doing this, like you said, for about 14 years now. Who are some of the guys or some of the best name guys that you've been in there with and had the opportunity to ref a match for?
So, I've mentioned 2 already. Dave Mastiff, who's a Suplex team member, which I'm sure we'll talk about in a few minutes. Rockstar Spud has gone above and beyond that any most people's expectations. I always kind of knew he had something in him because me and him would talk at length about stuff, but he's doing well. So is Dave Mastiff. And probably one of the best technical wrestlers in the world right now is Zack Sabre Jr. What a joy to be in the ring with him. I mean, at one point, like a couple of years ago, I wouldn't referee his matches that too often because he was going to Pro Wrestling Noah. And every time he came back, he just got so much better. Like, it was literally like light years, and he was good before, Prince Devitt, of course. I'm not trying to name all the Suplex members here, but Prince Devitt is one of the best, as far as like in-ring ability and just precision to be the best. He's one of the best, But then there's also some names that have made it to WWE, like CM Punk and things like that. So the Briscoe Brothers are one of my favorite tag teams, and the American Wolves, but for sure.
So do you, going into a match, do you have to kind of mentally prepare yourself to saying, okay, I know what this guy's style is, so I got to make sure that, I pick up my pace, or I can go a little bit slower because these guys work a little bit of a slower style. Do you think about that before you go into a match?
This maybe not like the speed, but like definitely if somebody's like has a bit of a crazy side. I mean, there's a film being made right now called "Fighting with My Family," I believe it's called.
Yeah,
and it's being made about the Knight family, and hope he listens to this, but Roy Knight, me and him out of, not runnings that we don't like each other at all, it's actually quite funny, but I had to disqualify him a few times. Even literally once was like 60 seconds into the match. It was him against Shaw Samuels, who, by the way, is another great British performer in Shaw Samuels. So are the Hooligans, actually. And I like the craziness. And Roy just hit Shaw with a chair straight right at the match, and it was just a regular match. I had to call for the bell. Like, dude, what are you doing? This is a regular match, you know? So, like, for them, I have to, like, okay, I've got to deal with Roy and Zach today, who I love being around. They're always great fun. They always make me laugh. For those kind of guys, yeah, for sure.
Now, we've seen this, you know, explosion when it comes to the wrestling scene in the UK. Let's go back to even just last year. What were your thoughts of the WWE UK tournament?
I loved it. It was really cool. I mean, it's even more guys, you know, I've met so many, you know, good names like Pete Dunne and Tyler Bate that were in that tournament for sure. That tournament was great. I mean, I think I was on a show on a Saturday, and I got back just in time to start watching it. And I was on Progress, actually, the day that the finals were on. And, like, I really didn't know who was going to win. And I was so happy that Tyler did, because Tyler lives, like, about 3 or 4 miles from my house. I've seen him literally grow up in this business. And he's still really young. He's still got so much more growing up to do, and he's so talented already. I loved it. And I think, I don't know how this year is going to play it, but I'm most definitely hoping it's going to be a positive.
I think that was some of the things that some people were wondering about when it came to the UK tournament is, okay, there's a lot of UK guys on it, but it's still a WWE presentation. So was there a lot of concern over in the UK about how WWE was going to do this tournament and use the guys?
I don't know whether there was, like, concern for the tournament itself. I think there was just a lot of question marks around it, what's going to happen after, especially since they were going to be crowning a champion. Like, if it was just a one-off, I'm sure it would just been a trophy. But they're doing some shows here in May, I believe. And I guess it's going to be like an ongoing thing. I don't actually know for sure. Just hear rumblings. And I think it was just like a little bit of awareness, I guess, because what's going to happen, what's going to go forward. But I don't think there's actually any genuine concern just for the tournament itself.
So was there ever any thought that they might ask you to be a referee on it?
Maybe. I'm definitely open. Definitely open to it for sure. You know, I love to work for the WWE. Yeah. You wouldn't, you know. I think even if you don't want to work for them full time, I think you'd at least like to at least get in there once, you know, and get in that ring. So
absolutely, especially on a stage like that where they're doing the UK tournament, or if they ever come over there. Yeah, absolutely. So
absolutely.
You know, and when it comes to, you know, we talk about this explosion over there. Why do you think this is happening right now? Because now we're hearing so much about all these different groups, whether it's, you know, Rev Pro and OTT and What Culture and Progress and you name it, man. I mean, it's just incredible.
Yeah, it's been like this surge in like talent the last 2 to 3 years for definite. I think there's been a strong undercurrent before that, you know, but I think it was just like we were just waiting for our time, or we did not. Or I think it was all subconsciously too. Like I really believe that our time was always going to come because a lot of us. The majority of us really have busted our backsides, and the people that have came before me, you know, especially in the world of sport here back in the 1780s. I mean, they definitely set the standard. Obviously, it went away for a while, but we're definitely on the revival run right now. I don't think we've hit our peak yet. And I think America wants a piece of it right now. I think the independent scene in the United States is still good. I just don't think it's at the level that the UK is. I think the UK independent scene's, I think it's the best independent scene in the world right now. I don't think there'd be many people that would argue against me on that.
And it's funny because, like, you know, I just talked to Matt Riddle, and we'll talk about him when it comes to Suplex. But, I mean, you look at a guy that is using the UK scene to his advantage to be able to go and wrestle almost every night of the week and wrestle a different style and a different opponent. And that's something that, yeah, you can wrestle a bunch here in the United States, but not as much as you can over in the UK right now with all the great places there are to work.
And, dude, you can fit the United Kingdom into Texas nearly 3 times. And, like, that's how small England is compared to America, and there's all this extra work, you know. That blows my mind when you say that out loud. Yeah, Matt Riddle, he was. I was on a show with him on Monday for What Culture, and he's on shows with me next Monday and Tuesday. And he's working all weekend in the United States, and he's coming over here to fill up his week. And then I guess he flies back again. But it is crazy. I mean, there's always been, like, midweek wrestling with all-star wrestling. I'm sure you've heard the name Brian Dixon before.
Yeah.
That definitely, if you haven't heard any British guys talk about it, which I'm sure you have, I'd be very shocked if you hadn't. But you definitely heard William Regal and Robbie Brookside talk about it, and that's for sure. everybody's worked for Brian, but like he would run weeknight shows. He was the only guy that was really doing it. But since this like this revival, this surge of British wrestling that's happened in the last 2 to 3 years, these shows keep cropping up, and there's more and more. There's a promotion starting called Lucha Forever that's starting up, and they're running most of their shows during the week. So it's great because it doesn't like we don't have to choose at weekends now between these promotions because there's any day is open to run, which is great for the independent wrestler, you know.
Right, and it's,
and referee.
It's like a throwback to like wrestling here in the United States, like in the 70s or 80s, when guys will be they'd be doing shows, you know, every night of the week.
Yep, it's not definitely not a bad thing, that's for sure.
And you know what? Another guy that I give a lot of credit to bringing more eyeballs to the UK scene. And then, like you said, it had already like started this big explosion, but really got some more attention to it is Drew Galloway. When he left WWE and he came back over there and he immediately went to ICW and then he started working for all these different places, it seemed like people started following, going, wow, look at this guy. Look at how good he is now that he's out from under WWE and he's trying to prove himself. And look at all these great places he has to work over there. And he was bringing a lot of attention to it.
Absolutely. I think Drew definitely played a part, and like when he really wanted to make a name on the independents, and he did that very, very quickly, especially between ICW and Evolve, and he did a lot of interviews. He started working for Evolve, and like he was the first like British guy to like start regularly working there, and then followed Zack Sabre Jr., Morris Skull, and Ospreay, and then the Brits started invading Purse and Gorilla, and then now. Marty and Ospreay are signed to Ring of Honor now, and I think it's well deserved that the British guys are getting an opportunity in America on a regular basis now. It does make me happy because it went for a long time that they didn't want to, nobody wanted to find the UK guys. You know, I mean, Doug Williams did and Jody Fleisch did, and the odd person would actually go over, but there's nobody since like Doug and Jody and Johnny that went over back in the early 2000s that have been going on a regular basis, and it's most definitely deserved.
Yeah.
And, everybody's played a part in that, getting them there, whether they've been or not yet. And I'm sure if you deserve to go, I'm sure your time will come.
And I think the next step is going to be when somebody makes it big again in WWE that comes from this scene. Because, like, you know, Drew, you know, he was there. They had plans for him. Didn't work out the way that they thought and he thought. You know, Sheamus is still there and he's doing really well. Wade Barrett was there and we thought he was going to be, get a really big spot. And unfortunately, injuries caught up with him, and then they just didn't use him in the manner we all thought. But I'm waiting to see who that next guy is going to be. And WWE really says, all right, we're going to give you the shot to go all the way. I guess, you know, Prince Devitt, Finn Balor is going to be the next guy where we'll see, okay, let's see if they give it a run to one of these guys who deserves it coming over from the UK.
Yeah, I'm sure he has all the ability to succeed in that role for definite. So. It's wait and see on that one for sure.
Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about Suplex Apparel. So when exactly did you start Suplex?
So Suplex technically we launched on the 1st of October 2013. As far as like the clothing brand, like I ran my business has always been called Suplex. Like it's been different things over the years, but I had the idea about 18 months before I actually launched the stuff. Launched the brand. And I just I thought about it. I was watching a lot of UFC at the time, and all these guys had all these different sponsors. Like, oh, you know, Nobody in Wrestling has that. Why don't they have that? And then the idea would go away, it'd come back, and go away. And I was like, oh, hold on a second, you should do it. And then I started formulating a plan, started getting my original three guys, which were Dave Mastiff, Zack Sabre Jr., and Adam Cole. So I started getting those guys on board, which was really good to have those guys, you know, because Dave was like the top heavyweight, you know, still is one of the top heavyweights in the UK. Zack Sabre Jr. is one of the best technical wrestlers in the world, and he is now the best technical wrestler in the world. And Adam Cole's one of the best guys. Another one I should add to the list I've been in the ring with. And he's always great to watch, fun to watch. So having those guys originally was really good for me. I was really lucky to have them. I mean, I had great relationships with each three of them in different ways. Like Dave Mastiff, I mean, Dave, I've known Dave since I was 5 or 6 years old. We went to the same, you guys call it elementary, we call it primary school in the UK. Went to the same school. I know Zack Sabre Jr. from just doing the British Indies. And I knew Adam Cole from when I used to work for Ring of Honor back in the day. So getting those guys involved. And then a couple months later, we added Prince Devitt, which just, dude, that set us up so much. That was really good for business, that's for sure.
Yeah.
And he brought so much attention. It was literally just before he did the infamous original paint job, you know, Wrestle Kingdom. And that was just before that. So that was, honestly, it was so big for us. And I was so happy to get him on board.
And the other people that are on board now are Kyle O'Reilly and Helico, Gil Kim, and Matt Riddle is the newest guy to be a part of the Suplex Apparel team. You know, Matt was telling the story, too, about, like, not anybody gets to be part of this team. Like, he was saying you have to be, they have to discuss it among the team members, and everybody has to kind of sign off on you.
Yeah, it's really true. Like, I was telling that on Monday when I saw him. He was like, he seemed to blow his mind then. I'm kind of glad he mentioned it, actually. Yeah. Like, it's not just like a team, as in it's like a cheap marketing ploy, you know what I mean? I mean, obviously, we do use it in that way, but like, we use it that way because it's real. It's actually genuine, you know? Like, when somebody new comes on, we have to, like, are you happy with this person being on the team? If one person said no, you know, they're not going to come on the team, you know, because you want to keep the team harmony good and healthy. And that's the way to do that, you know? You want everybody to be friends. I mean, not everybody's going to love each other, you know? Like, if I love Dave, or he loves me, or for an example, you know, or Zach, or Devitt, or whatever like that. But it's really true, yeah. We have to, like, take a vote on it. And it's, you know, I think it's actually quite – I think that's a big part of our success, is that it comes across genuine because it is genuine.
Absolutely. And I think the cool thing is, too, that it's exclusive. Not just anybody can get into it, you know?
No, like, my oldest biggest fear with it was – remember, like, the NWO back in the day, how cool it was when they had, like, three members, and it was still cool when they had five, and then when they had eight, it was still, yeah, this is still good, this is still pretty cool. But then before you know it, they had, like, 50 guys standing in the ring on Monday Night Nitro, and I was like, it's no good anymore. It's gone too, you know, too many people, and it's too many people to focus on, you know? That's actually a lesson I've applied. I've applied to Team Suplex for sure.
Do you have a number in mind on how many people you would like to have on it if everything went well, or are you at that number right now with the eight people that are involved?
So we have eight people on the team right now, and am I against having nine? Absolutely not. If I didn't want eight people, I wouldn't have added the eighth person, you know? And there's no like limit on it, but I'm happy with what we've got right now.
Right. It has to be the right person, the right fit, the right time.
And we don't add people willy-nilly either. You know what I mean? I won't add anybody for a while now. Like, the last person we added was last April.
Right.
And the time before that was in February before that, which was Gail and Helico. Now we've added Matt Riddle. So, there's no formula to it.
And I think the other cool thing about it is that, you know, when we talk about the exclusivity of the people that are in it, it goes to also the quality of the group that are involved and the quality of the clothing brand as well, because, and I know people think, you're just showing or whatever. And I'm serious about this, man. That's, you know, this is one of the reasons why I do talk about it, is because it's an awesome clothing brand. I mean, this just happened. I promise I did not even set it up this way, but it was a little cooler here today. I'm wearing my Suplex Tour t-shirt because it's a little bit thicker, and it was a little bit cooler here in Orlando. So it was just like, I'm going to wear my Suplex shirt today. Like, when I went to the Royal Rumble, I knew it was going to be cooler. So guess what I wore? I wore my Suplex track jacket.
Excellent.
Great choice. Yeah, and I love wearing that thing, man. And there's people that gets eyeballs as well. But you guys rotate the clothing line all the time because you guys have t-shirts and gear for, you know, each specific brand member. But you also have stuff that's Suplex, you know, just alone that has just the Suplex brand on it. And everything is quality, man. And that's the thing that I appreciate the most. It's not just, hey, we're just trying to throw out as much as we can. There's diversity in the clothing, and it's all really good quality stuff.
Yeah, I mean, like, it's I always call it, like, it's not just a clothing brand, it's a brand on its own. You know, we don't need the two words, it's a brand, you know? And that's one thing I was really careful about. I didn't want to just come across, buy our stuff. I mean, yeah, that's a part of that. You know, it is a business at the end of the day, but I wanted to create, like, a brand. I wanted to create, like, a lifestyle brand, and that's what, you know, we know we're close to where we want to be, but we're doing pretty well so far, I think. And I think that, like, we talk about nutrition, we talk about workouts, we talk about different things and this, that, and the other, and we're working on a new project now for something to go in with the orders. I can't quite speak about it just yet, but keep your eyes peeled. Work on that now, which I'm really excited for, and it's getting pretty close to it now. We've got some other projects this year, too. But, like, it really is, like I said, it's definitely a team atmosphere, and that's legit. That's a real genuine thing. It's a genuine brand, and we do care about our customers. I mean, I don't know whether you saw the story we did on a guy called Thomas Jackson. He's a big PWG fan and just a big wrestling fan in general. I mean, he cites Suplex as his inspiration to lose weight, and he lost 64 pounds. That's remarkable, isn't it?
Wow.
Yep.
Man.
Good for him. And we... I had an email from another guy the other day that he wants to tell his story too, and he's saying that suplex is the reason that he got in shape and bettered himself and things like that. I'm like, dude, it humbles me so much. I'm so honored that these people say this about a brand that I helped create with all the rest of the team and all the customers helped create too, because it's further than just the team that that we have sponsored. You know, it's everybody that supports us in whatever way. They're part of the team too. You know, it's a big family, should I say, to be. Hope that doesn't come across too cheesy, but it's true. And for that guy to tell us a story, and he was getting emotional when I asked him if we could do a story on him. You know, he legit got emotional. Yeah. And that touched me too. And I was like, man, this is pretty cool. You know,
that's when you know you're doing something right.
Yeah, I mean, it's great. I mean, I wanted to tell the story because, like, this is really cool for him and for us. You know.
Oh, absolutely. So for everybody, go to suplexapparel.com and you can see everything that is there. You've got links to the store, to the team, to the blog, contact information. Like I said, when it comes to the store and all the cool gear, so like you can get t-shirts for each team member, but also suplex gear alone. And then there's not just t-shirts, but there's hoodies, there's hats. The cool thing that you guys have had lately is some flannel shirts have been out there.
Yeah, I'm wearing one right now. Oh, the best.
Like, the flannel shirts are awesome.
You can wear, like, one of the things like I wanted to approach with this club when I first started, I wanted stuff to be like wearable to wrestling shows, and even if you wanted to go out to a nightclub, you know, or to a restaurant, or, you know, somewhere fancy, or just the cinema, or just want to wear it at home, you know, something that's like, it's not too like over the top and like a classic wrestling t-shirt, which they're cool. I've got plenty of them myself over the years, but I wanted to create something like, you know, that you could wear anywhere. And I think we're doing an okay job with that. And these flannel shirts that have come in the last couple of months, I'm a big flannel shirt wearer, you know, and I was like, yeah, I want to get some Suplex ones. I'm wearing the new one right now. It's super comfortable. I mean, the last ones were great quality, but I think these are even better, you know, so
nice. And the thing that, yeah, it's funny you say that about the gear, because that was the thing that I've always told people too, is like, sometimes there are some wrestling shirts and it's like, yeah, I can tell that's a wrestling shirt, and it doesn't always look that great. And these are like, these look cool to where it's just like, yeah, I'd wear this out in public and I wouldn't feel like, you know, like people are looking at me like I'm some kind of nerd wrestling fan.
I mean, like, I guess it's the same in the States. Like over here, like these nightclubs have like photographers go, and then they upload the photos the next day and tag all the people that were at the club and stuff. I remember this one guy tweeting a photo at us. I forget the guy's name, and he was wearing one of our sweatshirts with a SPLX, like a, you know, like a basic but like cool design on it. And he's wearing it to this nightclub, and it was like a very popular nightclub in London. I'm like, oh man, this is the cool. Like, it made me feel really good, because like, yes, that's what we wanted to try and get to. I wanted people to wear it outside of where they normally wear wrestling stuff, you know, to the gym, to nightclubs, to there, you know, so.
Absolutely. So everybody can check it out. Like I said, suplexapparel.com. There's clothing for men and for women as well. So the ladies, you are not cut out. You can get brand new Matt Riddle gear is there right now. So everybody can check that out. The spring range is out right now. And by the way, Suplex does ship worldwide. So you have no excuse, no matter where you're at in the world, to not get some Suplex apparel gear. And then you guys are, what's the social media? It's Suplex Wrestling on Twitter?
Yeah, Suplex Wrestling on Twitter, Suplex Wrestling on Facebook, and Suplex Wrestling on YouTube and Instagram.
So, perfect. Look at that. You got the name for everything. Lucky you.
Absolutely.
I was not that lucky.
We wanted to change it, but we never did. But we'll keep it that now. So
that's good. So, well, Joel, I appreciate you coming on here. You keep up the great work with Suplex, and you know, keep doing the refereeing thing and having fun out there, and hopefully we can do this again some other time.
I'd love to, Brian. Really good talking to you, man. I really appreciate it.
Thanks again to everybody for listening to the podcast. Don't forget, you can subscribe to the Between the Ropes podcast. We're on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, the TuneIn app, and we're also on SoundCloud. It's there at soundcloud.com/Between the Ropes. All those different places you can find the Between the Ropes podcast. Michael and I, we will be taping the weekly podcast later on tonight. Just a quick reminder again, if you have a question, hit us up on Twitter. It's AskBTR, hashtag AskBTR. And you can also send us an email. It's btrmailbag@gmail.com. And we will get to as many of your questions as we can. Appreciate everybody for listening. And we'll talk to you next time right here, Between the Ropes.